absolute, it's not, I can't drink. It's, I'm temperate. So I walk by it and I think, well, I don't need that. I'm temperate. I don't need to indulge in that. What do I need liquor for? Even if it is for the caramelly, cool, burn taste of whiskey, I don't need that luxury. That's expensive stuff. It's not for me. Let's stick with things that are within our means. I don't need luxury drinks. And so, but that's a positive. It's just in me to be that way. That's what the Holy Spirit does for us. It writes God's laws in us. But sometimes it takes a lot of knocking. Don't be discouraged. That's the thing I most want to come out of. Don't be discouraged. Keep knocking. If some guy in a house, when you're knocking, who doesn't for friendship come down, but just because you're annoying, he'll come down. What do you think your Father in heaven's going to do? He's going to answer you. And then what happens is, because for lack of faith, what happens? We go away dejected. He didn't answer our prayer. He must not be real. You know, if your friend, look at, if you know God is there, it's like your friend, he's asleep. If you keep knocking, eventually he'll hear you. Throw rocks at his window. Eventually he'll get up. If you keep trying, he will hear, and God does hear, and he will answer. But he doesn't want us to pay. His idea of waiting patiently, God has a different idea of patience. You can see that here. To us, patience is knock once and wait. Just patiently wait. Just sit there in some sort of Zen-like state. You know, wait. That's not patience. Well, that is patience, but that's not the form of patience God wants. His idea of patience is keep knocking, trusting that I will come. Keep being insistent. Impudence is the patience. The patience of impudence. The patience that says, if I keep asking, I'll get it. That's the kind of patience. He wants you to have the patience not to quit, to never give up. That is the patience that God wants you to learn. Don't give up. Not the patience of folding our hands. That's not the patience. He wants the patience of run the race with patience. It means to endure, to keep on, to not give up. Because there's you can wait patiently. There's waiting patiently, but you can also run patiently. You can patiently ask. You can patiently ask again and again. It's not a question of impatience. Impatience is when you stop if you're waiting, you stop waiting. If you're knocking, you stop knocking. That's to lose, when you no longer are continuing in the thing you were trusting in getting you what you wanted. Meaning, if you thought, I'll wait and I'll get what I want, then you wait. If you think, I'll knock and I'll get what I want, then you keep knocking. And patience is to continue to knock and trusting that the knock is going to do it. And patience, if you're waiting, is to trust that if I keep waiting, it'll happen. What happens when you lose your patience when you're waiting? Well, you get up, let's say you're waiting in a doctor's office, you get up and walk out. My patience has run out. Remember, patience is not meant to last forever, either. It's meant to have a reward. If God doesn't eventually answer us, though it can take long, years. That's why I say, it's like, don't, just because it takes a week, don't think you've waited long. I've waited for years for things. And I have faith that God will answer you. So please, you also have faith. Keep on seeking God. I'm going to move in. I hope that really sunk in, because I think it's very important. When you pray, to be insistent and to keep on seeking God for those things you want. You know why? Because I know people give up. I've given up. I gave up for a while. I mean, I'd give up for like months. You know, I'd pray really hard, hope he would answer me, and then go away dejected because he didn't answer me. I didn't go back the very next night and pray the same way. I didn't go back the very next morning and pray the same way. You know, I didn't go on the next week to pray that same way. I just gave up for months on end until the problem became overwhelming again. And suddenly I was broken down and I felt I had to pray because there was nothing else I could do. See, even in that failure of prayer, I'm learning something about prayer. I'm learning something about how to seek God for deliverance from these things, to be insistent. To have the patience to keep at it. You know, it's like, let's say if over 10 years I prayed a total of 20 times. You know, or 30 times. I prayed more than that. I mean, prayed earnestly with tears to be delivered from a sin. let's just say 20, just for the sake of argument, because that makes it nice and easy. You know, but what if I prayed 20 times in 20 days? Just as earnestly. Sometimes it's hard to keep up that kind of emotion, because, you know what? Things go away. But if we have an understanding with God about what it takes, I tell you, you can stir up those feelings. If you really want to be delivered, you can stir it up. Just think hard on it. I know I'm able to do it. It's just a question of going out and really doing it. And that's what it takes. That's what it takes. A real dedication to the kingdom of God. A real seeking of his kingdom and his righteousness. And it will be given to you. But please, don't mistake me. Don't think that just because you pray 20 days in a row that God's going to answer you then either. Maybe it's like, that's fine. If you're able to do that, maybe that's too easy. I'm telling you. You never know. It's like, so don't just, you know, I've known people who were much better at me than prayer who had to wait for things anyways. So, don't take my words as like, I'm not telling you that's your formula right there. You know, a lot of things happened over those 10 years beyond just those prayers. Sometimes works have to happen. Just because you really want it doesn't mean it's time to get it. Now, God is not your neighbor. He's your father. Verse 14. And he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. But some of them said, he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. And others tempting him sought of him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. And if I, by Beelzebub, cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I, with the finger of God, cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. So he's casting out the devil, and they commit, at other times he's called this, blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, to ascribe the Spirit's work to the devil. And it sort of makes sense. You figure, well, the chief of the devils could cast the devils out. And then there were the others tempting him, seeking a sign. He talks about that later. But let's get on to the devil issue. Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against itself falls, right? How can Satan cast out Satan? Well, you think, well, he's powerful enough, he could command them out. But why would he do that? Because that's not what he's there to do. I mean, his kingdom is to give evil spirits to people, is to place evil spirits on people.